Again studied his coffee-colored face with its fringe of beard as she wondered, what's he after? Why is he pushing us into his disaster scenario? And the answer immediately came back to her, because he believes it. He's scared that we're about to unleash a nuclear holocaust. To Jamil, she murmured, the Israelis will take care of Iran. Before or after Tehran's launched its missiles on Israel? Coggins hesitated. We should at least warn the Israelis of the possibility, Jamil urged with quiet intensity. And have those hotheads launch a preemptive strike on Iran? That would start your Sarajevo scenario all by itself, wouldn't it? Jamil slumped back in his chair. Damned if we do, damned if we don't. General Scheib called from his seat halfway up the table. Okay, I've got it. The crew for today's flight of Able 1, civilians and blue suits. What kind of experience does the pilot have? General Higgins asked. Let me scroll down to... Scheib's face reddened, then went white. Well? Higgins demanded. His voice dead flat, Scheib replied. The pilot is Lieutenant Colonel Karen Christopher, a woman. One of the best pilots in the Air Force, Scheib said, without looking up from his miniature computer screen. She piloted B-2s in action over Afghanistan and Iraq. Very experienced, decorated. His voice fell off. What's she doing driving a test program plane? Higgins groused. A pilot with that much experience, seniority? Scheib knew, of course. It wasn't printed out on Karen's dossier, but he knew that she'd been stuck in the airborne laser program as punishment for refusing to divulge the name of the married Air Force officer she'd been sleeping with. Her career's been blighted because she was loyal to me, Scheib knew. And now she's flying right into what could be the start of a nuclear war. What if she gets killed on this mission, he asked himself. That would solve a lot of problems. And he hated himself for even thinking of it. Able 1. Beam Management Compartment. Monk came back through the hatch with both his hands full of black cases that held spare optics components. Relax, Harry, he said. I can get it put together again in an hour, maybe less. You can work up there? Harry asked. It's a tight space. I barely got into it. Delaney grinned at him. I know the layout inside out, Harry. All I gotta do is get my arm into the housing. You sure of that? If I need to, I can get Tacky to help me. She's small enough to get in there with no trouble. Harry nodded, but heard himself say, And how do we test it? Monk stared at him. You put a new lens assembly in, but how do we know it's aligned right? How do we know it's working the way it should? Geez, Harry, I'm doing the best I frickin' can. Yeah, I know, but it might not be good enough. Monk put the boxes gently down on the workbench that ran along one side of the compartment. Turning back to Harry, he asked, So what do you want to do? I want to go home and have a beer and watch the sun go down over the ocean, Harry thought. Harry? Get to work, he said. I've got to talk this over with the pilot. She's in command of this plane. If we can't be sure the Ranger is okay, we'll have to turn back, I guess, Monk said softly, almost as if talking to himself. We're not turning back, Harry said. Not unless the woman in charge says so. She doesn't know shit about this technology. She's in charge. It's her decision, not mine. Monk looked as if he wanted to argue, but he merely shook his head dumbly. You need help with this? Harry asked him. Nah.